Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for inviting me. It's really a pleasure being here. It's never a punishment to visit London. Let me start by introducing myself. This is me. I'm not Mark 1, that's Colin, as he told us this morning. I have been Mark 21 a long time ago. Now I'm Mark, guess how my age. I'm a director of library and IT services in the University of Tilburg, and I've been working before that in the University of Amsterdam in the university library. My background in libraries is about 7 years now. Before that, I made a career in IT. So, a few words, if you allow me, about the people who pay my salary. Tilburg University, we are quite a small university to Dutch standards. Based in the south. We are a campus university in the west of the city of Tilburg. We have only a few subject fields. I hope the colors are right. Yes, the blue one is economics. It's about half our university. Then there's the red one, which is law school, about 25%, 20% social and behavioral sciences, 10% humanities, and a very small amount of theology. So, we have no sciences, no medicine, but we do have a library. And library, in, as a physical building, as a physical place, nowadays is mainly a learning center. We have a central service desk, that's in this picture. We have a lot of places for students to work in, about 1,000 in the building itself. And as a proof, I added our little dashboard application underneath that this slide. The building in the middle, the clock in the middle that says L is library and is always red. And red means that the percentage of occupation of study places is over 80%. So that's basically what a library today is for students. And of course, we're also a dating service. We do have a heritage collection. I have to mention that because it's often overlooked. It's very specialized on regional heritage, but it consists of the usual things, maps, photographs, books, brochures, magazines. Actually, this is a church right after World War II. And bottom left, you see a typical regional family at the beginning of the previous century. So, enough about the context. Let's go to where I was invited for. When we talk about libraries in the digital age, we should probably be talking about all these kind of things that I've mentioned in this simple map. We don't have that time today, so I will focus on our way to a library system in the cloud. But I wanted to show you this because I think it's important to stress that that's just one of the many things that we are doing, and maybe not even the most important one for our end users. We spend a lot of time on the left side, especially in supporting education and supporting research these days. So, sorry, no time for all this. I'm now going to talk about our way to a new library system in the cloud. And I'm going to do that using this mind map, clockwise from top right to top left. Our situation in Tilburg has been a little bit special in the Netherlands, at least, because we had a lot of homegrown systems. So there may be some names top right that you don't recognize, and that's very understandable because those are systems that we made at home. And we decided some years ago that that should end. There's no way that we can keep up with the developments that the big players in the world are showing. Also, we need to focus on other things than building library systems, because we need to focus on services. Something I tried to say in the slide showing that we do a lot more than just occupy ourselves with systems. So it was a sort of a strategic decision to stop developing and try to find services in the marketplace that would do the things that we did, but even better, if possible, and at least cheaper. We also had a few shared developments. So for instance, our discovery layer is called Gedit. It was developed together with the Delft Technical University and a firm called CQ2, and it's the name of the software is Maresco. It has served us very well for a few years, but what we now notice is that the burden of keeping this software up to date and building modern services that people expect on it is becoming too much for a simple university like we are. So the same goes for the repository, homegrown system that's been used by at least 5 other universities in the Netherlands. And we also have developed together with almost 30 other universities all over the world a subject repository specifically for economics. It's called Economists Online. And that's something that we are very proud of, and we are still going to maintain that for at least a couple of years. So we have a strong history of building and developing in-house. And then, of course, we had systems that we bought. We were using a system called LBS, Local Library System, would that be in English, from OCLC. We used a Dutch system as a research information system called Metis. And we are using a system from Harvard University called Dataverse for research data. Actually, that is running in Harvard still. So when we decided to change this, we looked at our ICT strategy as a library. And of course, we aligned that with the IT strategy of the university, which is fairly simple because in our case, that's just one service and there's only one director, and that's me. So that's a very short communication line. We had to, of course, take into account the way that we make decisions at the university. That's the ICT governance part. I'm not going to talk about that today. But I would like to tell a few things about architecture. This is from a few years back, 2008. It desperately needs updating. But as long as you don't take it literally, it's OK. And this is before and after. So in the top, you see the situation we had beginning of 2008. And in the bottom, the situation we would like to have today. As I told you, it needs updating. It's slightly different than it says here. But to the untrained eye, this might not look like it, but it is progress from top to bottom. And mainly so because the yellow parts are designating home-developed systems. And as you can see in the bottom part, we projected that there would be almost none, just one. Also, if you look very carefully, you can see that the horizontal layers are much simpler because we are standardizing and simplifying our whole ICT infrastructure. This is very important when you make a decision like we made, that you need to align that decision with your ICT strategy. And if you don't have that in one hand, you need to desperately talk to your colleague from the IT department to do that. So, back to the mind map. We also made a decision that we would try to outsource wherever that would be beneficial to us. So we don't have a very strong standpoint as believers that we will outsource anything. We are also not from the group that says we won't outsource anything. Actually, we have one university in the Netherlands that has that as an official strategy. We are somewhere in the middle. We're trying to find always the best solution for sourcing or outsourcing or co-sourcing. In the case of the library system, we decided very quickly that the system itself doesn't give us any competitive advantage. So it's a very good candidate for outsourcing. But then we said, well, if we are going to outsource it, then we would like it not to be classical hosting, because one of the benefits of modern cloud services is that you're not only are no longer running the systems in-house and you don't need the technical people to maintain it, but also you are freed of the hassle of updating and upgrading and, sorry about that, and converting. For us, that was very important. We had a long history of troubles with systems that would be hosted by other parties, but that would then have downtimes from at least a weekend, some a whole week. And we said, that's something that we don't want anymore. In 2010, when we made that decision, we thought it should be possible to not have that anymore. Of course, we had also criteria for the system itself. So we needed a solution that had a clear future strategy. So not just another system, but something that would integrate with the way that our primary users, students on one hand, researchers on the other, are using. And as you may well know, the primary users don't go look for information anywhere else than the first screen that they see when they start up their device. And all too often, that is Google. So we wanted to have a system and a supplier that would very much be in touch with that future. And that future already has started. We would like very much to have an integrated solution. So if we would talk about back-end and front-end, that would be just talk for the project, but not for the users. We would like to have, of course, as low a cost as possible. And we would certainly would not like to introduce into the Netherlands, this is rather regional criterion, I'm afraid, we didn't want to introduce into the Netherlands yet another ILS, because it does make working together with our fellow university libraries harder. No matter how you emphasize things like standardization, it does make it harder. Okay, so I now move to the left of the slide. We had sort of 2.5 candidates left. Summon didn't make the end list, the short list, because they don't have a back-end system, and we wanted to preferably have an integrated solution. Otherwise, the integration burden would still be ours. And then we were left with Exlibris and OCLC. And then what we did is we organized a few workshops. And in those workshops, we invited the suppliers to show us the system as a real demo, no slideware, and also to speak to us about their strategy. This was a very exciting time. In the beginning, we thought that OCLC was far ahead of, the other way around. Exlibris was far ahead of OCLC, and much to our surprise, OCLC came up with a live demo of a system that we then hadn't heard about, called web-based management services. So the race was open. Then we had the workshops about strategy, and it didn't take us very long to decide that Tilburg University, which is a rather small, not too complicated university, we also have one library building, we have one desk, we in essence have one depot, not completely true, but far more simpler than a university would be in Amsterdam, and I can imagine in London. So for us, both systems certainly would fill our requirements, but we felt more at home with the future vision of OCLC, which is very much the vision of WorldCat and the relationship they have with Google. We think that our users would appreciate that, even without saying so, because keep on dreaming. But we think it would be making life for them easier if we can sort of connect our systems and services with the way they are already working without having them to change the way they work, because they never will. In the final choice, we decided that we would go for good enough. At that time, I can't say today, I don't know, but at that time, almost a year ago, it was clear to us that actually Greece at that time had a better technology. The system was very function rich, had a lot of opportunities, but we didn't need it. And at the same time, we saw that whichever system we would choose, we would have to be very clear in our message to our own staff that whenever the work they did was different than the system that we were going to obtain, we are not going to change the system, which is, of course, by cloud services, not even an option, but okay. But we are going to change the way they work. That's a very difficult message to bring to people who are doing work for sometimes 30 years in the same way. But you have to do that. It's very important to do that, and it's very important that you do that in the first session that you have with those people to make that statement very clear. If you, the way you work is different than the system we are going to buy, we are going to change the way you work. So that brought us to the choice of WMS as the backend system and WorldCat as the discovery layer on top of that. We are now a few months into the project. There's no way of telling how it works, how it is going. Everything's fine, but I'm sure there will be some rough times ahead, as projects always have. There are a few interesting things that we need to resolve. Lendomat means self-service lending machine. We consider that to be of second order. Very important is legal things. In the Netherlands, might be different here, but in the Netherlands there is a lot of debate going on about the legal aspects of cloud services when you are dealing with a supplier that has a base directly or indirectly in the United States. Then we are talking about things like the Patriot Act. This is a very lively debate. Isn't finished yet. It's not going to be finished in a few months. But I think even politics is going to be involved in the end. So it is very interesting. And we saw the same kind of discussions develop within the European Commission. We also were very keen on having a clear exit strategy. Exit strategy means that when we have a contract for, say, 2 or 3 years, and let's not hope that that is the case, but in 3 or 4 years we would say we are not satisfied with this solution. We would like to have a very clear possibility and strategy that we can sort of back out of one cloud supplier and then be able to choose another one. That's not very obvious. It might be very difficult to do that. So I think it's very wise to realize in the early stages of a project how you are going to separate, if ever that is going to happen. When the project is finished in June 2012, if everything goes well, we will have a few things left on our wish list. Of course, we are going to see what we are going to do with the digital library. Will WorldCat and WorldCat Local be the one-stop shop for everything? We're not quite sure. Think about repositories, think about the heritage collection. And we're also still debating in the Netherlands, but we've always done that and we will always be doing that, how this all works in together with our union catalog and our national information infrastructure. Always an interesting debate. Do you have some time left?
Yeah, lots of time.
Okay. Because I have a bonus slide. This is a very simple scheme of a shared service environment that we are sort of working on in the Netherlands. I don't think all my colleagues would agree on this very simple schema here. What I've left out is the whole WorldCat and Google and discovery layer. I left out learning objects and learning systems. I left out basically all technology, ERM, resource management, etc. What it shows is that in the Netherlands we are working on a sort of a two-staged shared service future. Most of the services are already in place, but not everybody is using them and not everybody is using them in the same intensity. Where researchers would of course publish articles in journals, but also deliver those articles to our institutional repository. At the moment, we have 13 institutional repositories and then some for polytechnics. We think that it's with the where technology is today, it should be fairly easy to have just one repository in a country like ours. If Finland can do it, we can do it. It's no problem. That would preferably be a system that would lie underneath, or on top, if you will, a national research information system. And we've been trying for almost 3 years to get that off the ground, and we fail every time. It's very hard to do. But we would like to have one national research information system, and then we would easily click a repository to that. We already have a long-term preservation depot with the Royal Library. That's bottom right, the e-depot. That's already in place, which means that the whole structure for publications would be working and safe and centralized and efficient and give you the best service that we can imagine. For research data, that's slightly more complicated, because research data is far more complicated than publications. We do have plans of building sort of community cloud solution in the Netherlands, because for data, you have to understand that legal aspects are very important, much more so than for bibliographic information or whatever. So research data will probably, we wouldn't want that probably to leave the country, as long as it's not open. So we are building a community cloud solution, at least we are thinking about that, based on data-first technology. It will probably first be located at the center of the Netherlands, and then it could probably grow to a sort of national service, maybe or maybe not, under the direction of SURF. What we do have to the right side, upper right side, is long-term preservation of data archives. We have actually two of them, one for the social sciences and humanities, and the one from the three technical universities, and we sort of envision that they would eventually be able to merge as well. That would mean that you could have a sort of future for shared infrastructure that's basically built on four large blocks. Reality today is much more complex than this, but this is a sort of, it's not a vision, but a sort of a future that we are trying to realize in a few years' time. And with this, I would like to end my presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, so questions for Mark. Anybody got a question for how Mark has been implementing this over at Tilburg? Well, while they're thinking of a question, I have a question. So you've clearly moved a number of services to the cloud already. So my question would be, what resistance, if any, did you have from your colleagues at Tilburg, and how did you reassure the more nervous of those?
I think the biggest hurdle is that people... two things. First, you have to deal with the resistance to change the way you work. That sounds much easier than it sometimes is. Second, there is this sort of strange emotion that when you don't own the data, preferably underneath your own desk, then you cannot say anything about quality and usability. And first of all, that's not true. And second, that might sometimes be true, but then the question is, what is the bigger advantage of that? So very recently, we stopped with a Dutch classification system. There was a storm of protest. And the interesting thing is that the protests came from the library community only. There was only one researcher that protested. So the question you can ask yourself is then the benefits and the costs. And sometimes you the cost factor is much heavier than the benefits.
And when that was implemented, were the people who were doubtful reassured?
Well, we just stopped using our own classification system, so that was not an implementation, but a break with the past. And then, of course, there's always someone that can explain that the Dutch classification system is far better than the Library of Congress headings, which is true.
This could be a whole debate in itself.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Mark? Yeah, one at the back, yes.
Hi, Colin Watt, University of Edinburgh. You talked a bit about having an exit strategy. Could you just maybe elaborate on that a bit more and tell us how you're reducing the risks of that in 2 or 3 years' time?
Yes. Well, as far as bibliographical information is concerned, that's the easy part, because in the Dutch situation, our bibliographic records are already in what we call the GGC, Unicatalog, and that's part of WorldCat, so that won't change if we go to another provider. The hard part, of course, is the lender information, and so you have to think about that. What kind of information would you like to retrieve back from the cloud when you change from one supplier to the other? Do you need historical records, historical information? And can they provide that? And that's not very obvious. So we had to specifically ask for that.
Again, I think there was another question at the back. The lady on the end of the third row from the back. Yeah.
Thank you. Mine was building on the earlier question.
So
about,
can you just say who you are?
And I said that this morning. I'm Debbie Shawley, Imperial College. Building on the earlier question about what you did with resistance to change, have people lost their jobs?
No, but I think it's fair to say not yet.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. So let's thank Mark once again. Thank you.